Welcome to Mill Creek Church in Belleville, Texas, where our worship service is in progress. Today, Pastor Monty Bird continues with his sermon series on the book of Romans. And now, Pastor Bird.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we continue our study of Romans, I just pray that as we look at your word, that you will speak to us through the indwelling of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds. I pray that we would rest in your truth and you'd continue to mold us and shape us. In Jesus' name, amen. I was telling Kathy this morning as we continue our study in Romans 7 that I can't believe that I covered these verses on a Wednesday night, my second sermon after I surrendered to preach 37 years ago. And I would not want to go back and listen to that sermon because there's so much truth. I don't know how in the world I covered those verses in such short order. But what a joy it's been to be back in Romans 7 and look at all of the truth that's found in God's Word on these particular verses. Because I'd like to remind you before we continue that this chapter, along with the verses that we've been looking at, are about sanctification. God's moving in our life, in the life of a believer, towards holiness. As He continues to have us through the indwelling of His Spirit, He continues to have us release the things of the flesh and grab the things of the Spirit, and He moves us and progresses us in holiness. And as we've been looking at Romans 7, I've pointed out that as Paul is writing the letter to the church at Rome, here in these particular verses, that he is pointing out the signs of a sanctified person as he's giving his testimony, his personal testimony. And the first sign of a sanctified man, as I pointed out several Sundays ago, is that when we become saved through the indwelling of the Spirit, that we are given discernment. And in verse 14 of Romans 7, we see where Paul wrote, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." The second sign of a sanctified man is a desire to do good. Not only does he have the discernment to know that he is carnal, but also there's a desire to do good. In verse 15, he says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do," in other words, his desire is to do good. "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." The third thing is a disdain for evil. In verse 15, which we just read, he said, "But what I hate, that I do." As a sanctified person, someone who has the indwelling of the Spirit, someone whose God is active in their life, we should hate sin. And more importantly, we should hate sin and evil in our own life. Last week, I pointed out the fourth sign that Paul is saying that he's dealing with a double reality. For in verse 22 of Romans 7, he says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." It's a double reality. On one hand, he's delighting in the law of God, but then he's in recognition that he's at war with his flesh. This brings us to our final verse and our final characteristic of a sanctified person. It's in verse 24 and 25. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Now, as I just pointed out the characteristics that I mentioned earlier and preached on earlier, the signs of a sanctified person, in summary, you can see those same points here in verse 24 and 25. And let me point them out to you. I mentioned that a sanctified person has the power to discern. Well, look at verse 24 when Paul says, "O wretched man that I am." How does that deal with discernment? He can discern that he has evil in his life. He has discernment that he's in a battle. A lost person can't do that. A lost person doesn't have spiritual discernment. When I first preached this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I think it bears rereading. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Paul wrote the church at Corinth this: "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And there you have the great difference between the saved world and the lost world. The saved man has been given the Spirit of the Lord, and through the Spirit of the Lord, we have the ability to discern. The spiritual man has the ability to discern. The spiritual man has the ability, as Paul said, to say, "O wretched man that I am." A lost person doesn't define themselves as wretched. Only someone who knows the difference between light and darkness. Knowing light, we have the ability to look in our life and see sin and recognize it for what it is. So there you see it in Paul's statement, the ability to discern. Also, you see, as I pointed out, another characteristic of a sanctified person is that a sanctified person has a disdain for evil. Well, look at 24 again. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" How does he describe his flesh? A body of death. He doesn't hold it up in a positive light. He said, "My body is one of death." He has a disdain for evil. In addition, in that statement, you see another characteristic. Characteristic of a desire to do good. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" He wants deliverance. He wants deliverance from his body of death. He has a desire to live according to the truths of God. Now, as you see these characteristics that I've already preached on, sanctification and the characteristics of a sanctified person, more importantly, I want to dwell on this question that Paul poses, which will lead us to our final characteristic. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he answers, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord," which brings us to our fifth characteristic: a sanctified person has a desperate desire for Christ. A desperate desire for Christ. Paul's saying that Christ is the answer to a flesh that always disappoints. Christ is the answer for holiness. Turn with me, if you will, to Philippians 3, verse 3. And here you see Paul give this expression or this point of view that the flesh is good for nothing and the need for Christ. Look at what he says in Philippians 3:3. He says, "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh." No confidence. Just in, as he said in Romans 7, body of death. Here in Philippians, he goes, no confidence. Though, in verse 4, Philippians 3, "I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." That I may gain Christ. The flesh is worthless. The flesh is failing. Christ is everything. He goes on in verse 9 and says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, and if it by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Here in these verses, just as in 7, he's expressing the same thought. The flesh is worthless. It's absolutely worthless. He said, "I don't have any confidence in it." He said, in fact, it's trash. All of his efforts, physically, morally, he said, they're trash. It's only Christ. And here in Romans 7, as you see Paul giving his personal testimony as a sanctified person, he says, it's only through Christ. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The flesh is weak. The flesh is worthless. This shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 26. As he admonished the disciples for sleeping when they were supposed to be praying in the garden before Jesus faced the cross. In Matthew 26, verse 40, it says, "Then he," referring to Jesus, "came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" This is what Paul's talking about in Romans 7. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul knows this. He knows that the flesh is unreliable. That's why he poses this question. Who will deliver me? Who will deliver me? Now let's think about that question just for a moment. Who will deliver me? As he poses this question, it means that he is incapable of doing it. That's why he says, "Who will deliver me?" He cannot deliver himself. The flesh cannot save you. Just as he addressed in Philippians 3, that all of his moral efforts were rubbish. The flesh can't save you. Your will can't save you. And just as your flesh can't save you, my friends, your flesh cannot sanctify you. And I think in today's age, this is a very important point, that the flesh cannot sanctify you. Because so many times people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you can summarize their view up like this. Thanks, Jesus, for the cross. Thanks for the forgiveness. And now I've got it. I'm in control. It's me. And it's not. Because the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The flesh can't deliver. I also want to point something else out. He poses the question, who will deliver me? He does not say, who will help me? He says, who will deliver me? Not who will help me. And I think that's very important as we think about who is Jesus Christ in our life. Some people view Jesus Christ just as a helper. Now remember, we're on the topic of sanctification. We're in the topic of moving towards holiness. And some people believe that Jesus Christ is their helper. And I'll give you a case in point. If you're my age or older, you remember this phrase that at one point was popular in the church. That Jesus Christ is your co-pilot. Remember that? Jesus Christ is your co-pilot. Friends, Jesus Christ isn't your co-pilot. Jesus Christ is the pilot. But some people, in their view of salvation, think that you're there flying the plane. Jesus Christ is sitting in the co-pilot seat. And you only use him when things get a little bit bumpy. That's not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ is your deliverer. And he's not only your deliverer from the wages of sin, he is your deliverer for victory in your life today in the power of sanctification. This is Paul's view. A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He puts it all on Christ. And that's what we should do as believers. As we come together on Sundays and on Wednesday nights, as we come together to worship Jesus Christ, we come together to worship our deliverer, not our helper. Not our helper. He is our deliverer. It's Christ alone. It's Christ alone not only for salvation. It's Christ alone for sanctification too. And if you think that you are going to will yourself to victory, I will tell you I've tried it and tried it and tried it in my life, and every single time it has led to failure. There's only one way that you can have victory over sin. There's only one way that you can continue your progress towards holiness, and that is through an absolute reliance upon Jesus Christ. I also want to point something else out about this phrase, O wretched man that I am. He didn't say, O wretched man that I was. It's in the present tense. This is not Paul looking at his past life and saying, let me tell you what my life was like before Jesus. This isn't that type of testimony. He gave that testimony in a couple of other places in his epistles, but this isn't that testimony. This is his testimony in the present, and he's writing the Church of Rome, and he's saying, oh, wretched man, that present tense, I am, not I was. Now, I think that this is very important, because if you look at any timeline of the chronological writing of the letters of Paul, it is estimated that it is approximately 25 years from his road to Damascus conversion to when he penned this letter to the Church of Rome. 25 years. This is a 25-year Christian who was a faithful follower of Christ. This isn't, as some people want to point out, a carnal Christian. This isn't a carnal Christian. This is somebody that was so dedicated to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd been whipped. They'd been beaten. They'd been shipwrecked for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is someone who has been walking with the Lord and is dealing with the sin of their life, and He has a disdain for evil, and therefore he can write, "O wretched man that I am." Present tense. In addition, not only is he writing in the present tense, but this is not a statement of defeat. This is a statement of victory. Why is that? "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" He doesn't say who may. He doesn't say who might. He doesn't say who can. He says who will. Who will deliver me? Because Paul believes in a victorious Jesus. Look at Philippians 3 again. Philippians 3. Look at verse 9. I love this phrase in this verse compared to what Paul writes in Romans 7. Look at what he says. "And not having my own righteousness," not having my own righteousness, "which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." He is saying here that Christ will deliver, that there is power in His resurrection. And that's how we should view our relationship with Jesus Christ. So many times people view their relationship with Jesus Christ as this ticket to heaven. "Well, I got this ticket to heaven. I'm going to put it in my pocket. And then I'm going to live however I want to. And then God is going to call me home. And I'm going to dig deep down in my pocket. And I'm going to dust off this ticket that's been sitting there for 30, 40, 50 years. And go, oh God, I get to go to heaven, by the way." That's not salvation. Salvation also is sanctification. Sanctification, my friends, is not a choice. Sanctification is a sign. It is a sign that God is at work in you. Because after all, Jesus said in John that if you are His disciple, you're going to do what? You're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. It's the sign. Sanctification is a sign that you're saved, that you know the Lord. John also said and wrote that if we love Him, we keep His commandments. Sanctification and salvation's all tied up together. You can't separate the two. And here, Paul says, "O wretched man that I am, who will," affirmative, positive, victoriously, "say, who will deliver me from this body of death?" There's confidence in that. And we as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should have that confidence. As we sing victory in Jesus, my friends, it should mean something. That we just aren't going to exhibit our victory when we get to heaven. We're living a victorious life as we, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, continue to conquer sin. Not by our intellect, not by our might, not by our will, but by Jesus Christ. And what I have found in my own life is anytime I've tried to will and flesh that out, I have found failure. But I have found that the more that I spend time in His Word, the more that I spend time in prayer, the more that I meditate on the things of Jesus Christ, the victory happens out of the blue. At least I think it's out of the blue, but it's really not. Because as we rest in the Lord, as we walk in His teachings and truth, as we give more of ourselves to Jesus Christ, Christ dominates our life, dominates our thoughts. And we want the things of Christ, and we don't want the things of the world. It's Christ who delivers. It's Christ alone. And we can rest in that. I've been in Philippians a lot this morning, and earlier in Philippians, as Paul opened up his letter to the Philippian church in Philippians 1, in verse 3, he goes, I thank God, my God, upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from this first day into now, being confident of this very thing. Think about that. Confident of this very thing. Just as he said, who will deliver me from this body of death? Being confident of this very thing, that he, referring to Jesus Christ, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, the sign of a sanctified person is someone who recognizes that all of the flesh, all of the logic, all of the will, all of the desire of the natural man is just at waste. It's just waste. As Paul said, it's trash. It's trash. It's only Jesus Christ. And as we, as being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we should have a desire in our life to look more and more like Christ, we should recognize that He is not only our Savior, but He's also our Deliverer. And that's daily. That's daily. That's why Paul said, I die daily. It's daily. There's a daily struggle. And the only way that we can get through that struggle is resting in the Lord Jesus Christ, focusing on Christ. And I think the modern church has forgotten about that. That we've got all this activity. We've got all of this entertainment. We've got all of these things that are taking us off of what really should be our focal point. And that is the life and work of Jesus Christ. And when we recognize that and we continue on a daily basis to recognize that Christ is the only way that we can have not only forgiveness or victory, we cling to Christ. We cling to Him. It reminds me of the verses found in Rock of Ages. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That should be the prayer of each and every one of us. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It's all about Christ. And when we rest in that, not only do we find salvation through His grace and mercy, but we find power in His cross to live a holy life. Join me in prayer, please. Father, I just thank You so much this morning that You have given us Your Word, that You've taken away the veil, and we have the ability to read it and understand it. And in that understanding, we find power. We find refreshment in a world that is disturbing. I pray, Lord, that we might forsake this world and that we might cling to You and cling to Your truth. I pray that as we continue to come to worship, that every time we come in, that we might cling to Christ. That we recognize that Christ just isn't our ticket to salvation, but He truly is our deliverer from the evil of this world. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone listening through sermon audio that doesn't know the power of the cross, that today they might become a Christian, that they would surrender their life to Jesus Christ, that they'd ask for forgiveness of sins and turn their life over to Christ. I pray, Lord, that this church might be a witness in this community, that people might know that we are Christians by our active love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us as Pastor Byrd continues this sermon series. If you wish to hear more, you may find him at millcreekchurch.org or go to sermonaudio.com/millcreekchurch. Have a blessed day.